It is the WEOL High School Wrestling Weekly Recap here on AM 930 and 100.3 FM. We're also on that free mobile app and online over at WEOL.com. Again, this week's High School Wrestling Weekly Recap is brought to you by our friends at Cobalt Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Realty. Rakanushi joined alongside the one and only Hall of Famer himself, Tom Evans, in the house. And Tom, a little frigid this week as the action on the mat have started to heat up. Hopefully our wrestlers, fans, coaches, all that good stuff. Hopefully everyone's been able to stay warm this week because Lord knows I haven't.
Yeah, and I think that's a telltale. I think the teams that go to Maumee Bay know it's not really a Maumee Bay weekend unless there's 6 foot of snow and sub-zero temperatures for that tournament. That just seems one of those annual traditions that you'd really like to not be an annual tradition.
Yeah, no kidding. It has certainly been a cold one here this week, but hopefully things are looking on the up and up as far as temperatures as our teams continue to get those duels in as we get closer and closer to postseason activity. Hey, our special guest today, first time in a long time we've been able to catch up with this gentleman. That's Armando Torres, head coach of the Elyria Pioneers boys wrestling team. I know we were joined earlier this season by Paul Felton on the girls' side of the coin over there with the Elyria wrestling program, but Armando Torres, again, the head boys coach, will be joining us here in a couple of short minutes. Tom, I'm sure there's a lot you're excited to talk to Coach Torres about here today.
Yeah, a lot. You know, they're really kind of putting together a real nice dual meet season, hanging in there in second place in the SWC. We're going to ask them about that, and certainly some individuals that have really kind of stepped out for them this year.
Fantastic. All right, so with that being said, let's step aside, take a quick timeout. When we return, we'll be joined by head coach Armando Torres from the Elyria Pioneer Wrestling Program. Coming up next right here on the WEOL High School Wrestling Weekly Recap, presented by Cobalt Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Realty. You're listening live here this evening on AM 930 WEOL. 100.3 FM. We're on the app, and Tom, we're online
at WEOL.com.
And we're back on the High School Wrestling Weekly Recap here on WEOL. It is presented by our friends at Cobalt Insurance Center and over at Century 21 Deanna Realty. Rakanushi joined by the Hall of Famer Tom Evans, and we'll go right to the hotline and welcome in our special guest for this week's episode, and that is the head coach of the Elyria Pioneers boys wrestling program. That's Armando Torres, and Coach Torres, an honor to have you here with us this week. First time you've been on the show here this season, so we'll start with a nice and easy one for you. How you doing, and how have things gone for you guys so far this year over at Elyria?
Good. And as always, I appreciate you guys for having me on. But things have been going good. Guys are starting to peak at the right time right now, I think. Had a few bumps in the road on the way, but as far as where we should be at it during this season, I'm thinking we're right around there.
Armando, I'm gonna start with we'll get to some of the individuals here, but I'm gonna start with you guys are a sneaky 3-1 in the SWC right now, hanging in there second place. Talk to us about the dual meet season that Pioneers are putting together over there.
Yeah, so we came out real hot. We won 3 in a row. We also wrestled some duels down in Barnesville, non conference, and we did pretty well there too. And I think it's just a matter of us having. Starting to gain some depth in our lineup. We can move guys around if we need to. Guys will jump in and out depending on, you know, availability for that night. And they do a really good job of just stepping up to the call when we need them and doing what's best for the team. So that's been a big part of our success early on. But also, guys, you know, we come out hot and we like these conference duels because it brings some rivalry. It brings a different environment, you know, a different feel to the normal wrestling tournament. So the guys get ready for those and they come out excited. And, you know, we hope we were 4-0 at this point right now in the conference, but, you know, reflecting 3-1 is going to have to do moving forward.
Armando, do they still figure the conference champion half on duels and half on the conference tournament in the SWC?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought
they did, and I wasn't sure if they had kept that in line or not. Armando, talk to us about some of the individuals. I've seen, you know, Ben is certainly having an outstanding year. I see placed over at Maumee, placed over at Brexville, where you had four top 20 teams in the country in that tournament. But, you know, certainly Ben Wachter is having an outstanding season. Blake has been a picture of consistency. Talk to us about those guys and their growth this year and some of the other guys that are really stepping up for you.
Yeah. So Bennett, he's been off to a great start in the season. like I always tell everybody that I talk to about his success this season, it's one of those things that we knew was coming as far as his success and what he's been able to do up to this point. Last year, he was a freshman. He was a little light for the weight class. He was weighing around, you know, under 100 on a consistent basis. This past summer, he was able to put on some good weight and kind of grow into the weight class, and it's been showing. The kid loves to wrestle. He loves to be on the mat. He loves to work hard. It's almost a job to keep him off the mat to get some rest time every once in a while. But he just loves it, and we knew this was coming, and I think there's the sky's the limit for him as of right now. And then you got Blake. Blake's been doing a great job for us this year, and he's kind of taken a leadership role, and I think that's showing in his wrestling and how consistent he is. And I think the big thing that we're seeing that changed from him is all the things outside, like off the mat, you know, whether it's diet, whether it's getting that extra workout in, if he needs to outside of here. And it's a lot less of us telling him what he needs to be doing and a lot of him taking that initiative to himself. And we're starting to see a lot of good things. Like I said, you know, for both guys, there's been a lot of bumps in the road, but we're thinking the best is yet to come for them this season. And then, you know, outside of those two, we got a bunch of guys that are inches away from turning a corner right now. I feel, and I think our coaching staff feels, you got guys like Zave Stevens, who's a third year wrestler, senior, Kamarion Wimberly, third year wrestler, senior, Terrell Calhoun at 57, third year wrestler, senior. And then you got guys like Xaden Natal, who's been super consistent for us this year in duels and tournaments. And they're right there. And we can sense it. We can see it in the room. We can, you know, we feel those things. And those guys, along with like Seamus Fogarty as well, are right around the corner from, I think, doing some big things this year.
Armando, you know, we've talked about this before. I talked in previous years about the schedule that you maintain, and do your wrestlers understand that you guys wrestle one of the toughest schedules in the state of Ohio? You know, we talked about Barnesville earlier in the year, and some people that aren't around wrestling have no idea that that's there's some tough wrestling going on down in Southeast Ohio. You know, you guys head over to Maumee Bay. You're over at Brexel. Tore four teams in the top 20 in the country in that tournament. Do your guys have a realization that that's the level of competition that they're seeing week in and week out?
Yeah, it's something that we talk about quite a bit, and it's a reason why our schedule is structured the way it is, because we want to see all those teams, especially earlier in the year when we're going to Brecksville or Barnesville or Maumee Bay. You know, we hit those big three right there, and we're seeing some top-level competition in the state. Some of our guys are, like I just mentioned, a couple third-year wrestlers, so you know that there's some inexperience there with a lot of the big lights and moments and knowing who you're wrestling and all that, those little things that an experienced wrestler might know. So they're starting to understand it. It's one of those things where they kind of just got thrown into it, so they don't know much different than that competition they've been seeing, which is a good thing, I think. I think that defeats the nerves and the hesitations in those big matches. But that's the hope, to wrestle the best guys we possibly can in the state, to test ourselves, you know, every time we go out on the mat and learn from all those things. Because I think if we're wrestling, you know, tournaments that we know we can win or wrestling against guys that we know we can beat for sure, we're not learning as much about ourselves and our character and who we are as wrestlers. So right now, at this point in the season, we start to taper it down, and I think a lot of our guys will start winning, stringing together a lot of wins right now and maybe winning a tournament or two at the end of our year. And that should get the ball rolling and that momentum going for the end of the season.
Armando, we're getting close to the seating time, and for those of our listeners that don't know wrestling, you get seated in the district, then you essentially get to choose what sectional you're going to go to. Tell me your thought process in picking where you guys are going to wrestle at sectional wise. Do you just say we're going to Avon Lake because they're the closest, or you take a look at where some teams are at and say, well, maybe we want to take a shot someplace else, maybe that goes to North Canton Hoover? How do you go through that?
There's definitely a lot that goes into that decision. And, you know, I got a lot of wrestling brains around me on my coaching staff, whether it's Coach Jack, Coach Burnett. We brought in a new coach this year, Coach Seth McCurdy, wrestled at Mount Union. And they know a lot of wrestling, right? And so they're looking at things, and we're all sitting down and looking at things at where, who can go where, and what that leaves at this sectional, and what that leads to this district or that district. And ultimately, what we're going to be trying to do is find the best chance for our guys to have the most success. And, you know, sometimes there's a lot of planning into that, and sometimes you kind of get thrown into the fire, and you gotta fight through it. So we're definitely sitting down talking about it, looking at who's going where, and looking at certain weight classes on our team that we think will definitely benefit from a certain route, and that's kind of how we choose to pick where we're gonna go.
Great stuff, Armando.
Fantastic. Hey, well, Coach, thank you as always for the time here. We appreciate it very much. Best of luck the rest of this week, this upcoming weekend, and the rest of the way as you guys continue your path toward postseason play. But thanks again, Coach. We appreciate the time.
No, thank you. I appreciate you guys a lot. Thanks.
And Armando, just if there's any thought process that goes into it, I'm running a Division I sectional over at East High School, so there'll be a little home cooking over there. I don't know how much I can help you out over there, but I'd love to see you guys.
Yeah, let me know how the hospitality room is over there, and we can talk.
Okay. Sounds good, Armando.
Thanks, Coach.
All
take
right.
care.
Thank you.
And that's Coach Armando Torres, again, head coach of the Elyria Pioneers boys wrestling program. Great to catch up with him. How many years is this now for him over there at Elyria?
I was almost going to ask him. I think we're in year two.
Was last year number one?
I think so.
After Eric? Okay, yep. That's what I thought. Because I did maybe half want to ask him. I can ask him at a later time. Just kind of how he's settling in and really putting his own thumbprint, I guess, on the program. Because obviously the guy that he followed, we've talked to quite a bit here, in Eric Burnett. So just kind of curious. But looks like he's just, he's got the train still going over there at Elyria.
He absolutely does, and he's got the perfect approach to it. And I think when you've worked with somebody like Eric, and then Eric is on his staff helping him out, right, as an assistant, I that just tells you how little egos are involved in some of this, because there's not a lot of people that could do that on either side of that. And Eric, as we've talked about many times, Eric will do anything he can to help the sport of wrestling, any mm-hmm. wrestler anywhere. And Armando's kind of inherited that same attitude, as that whole staff. As he said, he's got a tremendous staff around him. He's got Jack Gillespie over there helping him out as well, and the new guy from Mount Union. So it's just always been a great staff over at their pioneer that always puts wrestling first in what they do.
Well, success with any high school program, any sports program really, but especially in high school, it starts at the top, right? We say it all the time. It starts with coaching, administration, even all the way down. And they've got things in order over there at Elyria, no question. So again, big thanks to Coach Torres for joining us. If you missed some of that interview, no worries. You can find it tomorrow over at WEOL.com. All right, so with that in the books, we'll take our final timeout, head to our last segment. We'll talk about some of the results from this past week and weekend, and talk about what's coming up next year in the Lorain County High School wrestling scene. All that and more coming up after the break right here. It's the WEOL High School Wrestling Weekly Recap, presented by Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Realty, here on AM 930, 100.3 FM. We're on the app and Tom online
at WEOL.com.
We're back here on the WEOL High School Wrestling Weekly Recap. It is presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty and Cobos Insurance Center. Again, a huge thanks to Armando Torres, head coach of the Elyria Pioneer Wrestling Program. We've talked both boy pioneers and lady pioneers this season. We had Paul Felton from the girls' side on earlier in the campaign. But again, a huge thanks to boys head coach Armando Torres, again from Elyria, for joining us. If you missed that interview, no worries. You can find it tomorrow morning over at WEOL.com. Again, I'm Rock Anushi. He is Tom Evans. And Tom, we've reached the point of the show where we take a look back, a brief look back at some of the results from this past week. As I think you kind of alluded to it during the break, we're heavy on the duels right now in both of our major conferences here in Lorain County.
Yeah, we're just over halfway through the dual meet season for both conferences, and the LC8 does the double duels, leading the pack for the LC8. Columbia is 4-0 right now. Last weekend they picked up wins over Oberlin and a big one over Keystone, 48-33, to take the driver's seat there. A couple teams at 3-1, Black River and Keystone. Keystone with a big win over Firelands, 39-33 last week. Clearview and Firelands are sitting at 2-2. Brookside, Wellington at 1-3, and Oberlin at 0-4. And Oberlin's just a little outmatched right now because they don't have a full lineup. But still some to be done. As I said, 4-0 for the Raiders, and again they do that split as well. The dual meets and count for half, and then the conference tournament counts for half. And as I've said before, this conference looks like top to bottom. Like, there's a guy from every team that could be in the finals. So this is going to be about depth, and this is going to be about placers. And this might be a conference meet that's decided by some guys maybe winning some third-place bouts for some teams down the line. So it's the LCA is going to be real exciting when coming down the stretch here.
Have these coaches, in your opinion, have they endeared themselves to that way of going about dictating a conference champion with mixing up the results from the regular season and the tournament? Or
I as a coach, I always liked, and I think the coaches like it because it puts value on the dual meets. And to say we're just going to count the tournament at the end of the year and determine who the champion is, I think that's a little shallow sometimes.
Sure.
I really did like the combination because there's a difference between dual meet teams and tournament teams, quite frankly, and it's nice to see that combination come into play in calculating who the conference champ is going to be.
So we talked with Armando Torres from Elyria. Speaking of Elyria in the SWC, what's been happening over there with their duels?
Well, Avon Lake, the defending champs, out at 4-0, but three teams at 3-1 right now: Berea Mid-Park, Elyria, and North Ridgeville. And the Rangers really have it kind of going on over there at Ranger Way right now at 3-1. They beat Midview last week in their duel, and then Amherst and Olmsted Falls at 2-2. Avon and Midview are winless right now, but really kind of a dogfight for that second place over there. I think, again, Avon Lake, it's going to be decided by depth. I think Avon Lake probably has a little bit more depth than anybody else in the conference, but you get an upset or two here, and somebody might sneak up on them in the conference meet. So you really got to, in an eight-team conference meet, you really got to have to count on everybody to get some points on the board for you.
Any tournaments, events of note outside of our conference duels, Tom?
Yeah, we mentioned the Maumee Bay. 57 teams over the Maumee Bay. That's really turned into one of the biggest tournament post-Christmas tournaments out there. I think they're probably in about year 10 or 12 out there at Maumee Bay. And some of the teams, Avon Lake, Elyria, Clearview, and Vermilion, were all out there. Avon Lake finished in 20th place, Elyria in 21st. We talked about Ben Wachter and Blake Council. Ben was second over there. Blake was eighth. For Avon Lake, Will Schnabel took a sixth. Clearview, Noah Houston took a seventh at 106, and Josiah Long took an eighth at 158. I wanted to ask Armando, and I kind of forgot. You know, 106 might be the toughest weight class in the county. You've got Ben Wachter from Elyria. You've got Noah Houston from Clearview. You got Bodie Gibbs from Columbia, and you got Ian Rattari. Those are all four of those guys are state rank wrestlers in their division. So that's a heck of a weight class here in Lorain County.
Anything with our lady wrestlers this past week?
Yeah, we had the Lady Giant Invitational over at Fremont. Elyria finished second out there out of 31 teams. Avon Lake was fifth, Oberlin 23rd, and Elyria had second place finishers, and Jalen Green, Soraya Jackson, and Chloe Washington, Olivia Markham, and Isabella Trujillo, and Emily Conley all finished third, and Ravenna Gudicello took a fourth-place finish over there. Rajan Ahashash, again, staying on a roll, champ at 155 over there. Destiny Cabot with a second-place finish for the Lady Shoreman. Lola Sione, a fourth-place finish, and Oberlin Lillian McFarland, again, placed in another tournament. I think they've only got a couple of girls, but Lillian really kind of seems to be stepping out over there at Oberlin.
I feel like we need to have Rajan on the show here at some point because I feel like out of all the wrestlers we've discussed since we've started doing this show, Tom, she's probably garnered, for boys and girls, the most mentions out of anybody.
Oh, no question. I see if I can grab her this weekend at a tournament someplace. And she's a great interview. She's just so full of energy. She's just so full of spirit. And we've talked to Coach Kopfer before about what a leader she is on that team. And to watch her grow as a wrestler these last few years has just been phenomenal.
Anything else, Tom, as far as results go before we take a look at what's coming up ahead?
Yeah, the Mechanicsburg Heart of Ohio tournament, 51 teams down there. Vermilion finished fifth down there. As far as boys out at the Dale Carroll over at Clyde, North Ridgeville, had a 12th place. Ian Rattario finished third. That means he got beaten in the semis by somebody over there. So Ian doesn't have a whole lot of losses on the year. But, that kind of dropped him down a little bit. But, again, Ian comes into the weekend still ranked in the top 20 in his weight class in the state.
Fantastic. So what do we have to look forward to the rest of this week then?
Well, duels tomorrow night. Columbia hosts Firelands, Black River, and Wellington. Brookside's going to host Keystone, Oberlin, and Clearview. I'll be over at Brookside. Tomorrow night, Avon Lake hosts Olmsted Falls for boys and Columbia for the girls in a little doubleheader over there. Amherst is going to host Elyria. Berea Mid-Park hosts North Ridgeville. That's a battle of 3-1s there, and Midview is going to host Avon. As far as tournament action this coming weekend, Lorain goes out to Toledo Waite. Farland's down to Delaware Hayes outside of Columbus. Columbia goes over to Wadsworth Grizzly, and we heard Dan Giuliano talk about the value of that for his, you know, the Mike Fries and the Bodie Gibbs and the Sorensens over, right, over to that Grizzly tournament. Elyria's got a split squad. Half of their squad's going over to Chardon for a tournament. The other's going over to Green for a tournament. And Midview, Keystone, Black River, and Avon Lake all go down to West Holmes. That's turned into a pretty nice little tournament down there in Ashland. EC and Oberlin are at Collins Western Reserve. Vermilion's out at Sandusky's. And on Sunday, the Columbia Ladies Invitational. I think we're in our third year of that.
Okay.
We'll feature Columbia, Clearview, North Ridgeville, Elyria, Keystone, and Oberlin all over at Columbia this weekend. And I got to mention this one. The Vermilion Ladies go down to Northwestern for the Fear the Spear tournament. So you got them. When it's got a name, like, just like Battle of the Belt in Berkshire, when it's the Fear of the Spear, you got to about that tournament. So the ladies from Vermilion will be down there.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. And Tom, my last point before we can get out of here and say goodbye, I can't help but think the fact that you have, you know, events and tournaments still going on mixed in with your conference duels, I imagine, maybe I'm wrong on this, that it helps kids not look too far into the future in terms of, you know, sectionals and where they might get seated and stuff like that. You still have, you know, really high level matchups that you got to take care of first.
Oh yeah, it keeps them in the moment, and wrestling is one of those that will keep you in the moment, because just about the time you start thinking too far ahead, there's going to be somebody going to wipe the mat with you. Mm-hmm. So you better stay in the moment. You better be ready for the next match up. And we always talked about that. Even at tournament time, it's just about winning the next match, and you know, you take it one match at a time. You don't ever try to play the tournament out in your head ahead of time.
Anything else from you, sir, before we get out of here?
Yeah, a bit of a somber note for is Dick Bonacci, the longtime Cleveland State wrestling coach, passed away yesterday. Oh. Dick's a Hall of Famer in every Hall of Fame there ever was. He was a three-time state champ at West High School back in the 50s, and a legendary 35th all-time in NCAA wrestling wins.
Wow.
Very few people realize that. Dick coached many of the guys that were coaches around here, guys like Gary Ceresi and Tony DiGiovanni and Ralph Graham out at Ravenna Southeast. And, you know, so, you know, that's a huge loss. Grandfather to Guy Seiko, guy who runs Defense Soap over there, just a huge loss.
Wow.
For the wrestling community. Dick Bonacci was a great coach and even a better man.
Wow, thoughts and prayers then to him, the Bonacci family, whole wrestling community. Wow, that's certainly quite the resume there, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. Yeah. So, all right, with that being said, again, a big thanks to Armando Torres, head coach from Elyria, for joining us here. If you missed that interview, it'll be available tomorrow morning over at WEOL.com. So for Coach Torres, for Tom Evans, I'm Rocco Nucci saying thank you for listening to another edition of the WEOL High School Wrestling Weekly Recap. It was presented by Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Realty. Don't change that dial, because coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, girls basketball from Midview as the Lady Middies welcome in Amherst. But again, for Tom, I'm Rocco Nucci right here on AM 930 WEOL 100.3 FM. You can listen on the mobile app and Tom online
at WEOL.com.